This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Yeah. I'm just so excited to watch Giants baseball against Shasky.
I know.
I'm so fired up. There's so many great opening day moments. I'll remember this one. You brought up Mark DeRosa earlier because he's one of the long list of left fielders that have started opening day after Barry Bonds. I remember randomly, I distinctly remember the 2010 opening day, and I didn't know that it was going to lead to a World Series. But the Giants were in Houston versus the Astros. It was DeRosa and Huff were the offseason acquisitions, and we know what Aubrey Huff became, but he was very valuable to that Giants team. And Mark DeRosa hit a home run that opening day, and I think he went opposite way to right in Houston. And I remember thinking, oh my God, the Giants got a pair of veterans paired with this young pitching staff. They're going to do things this year. And then, of course, D-Ro broke his wrist and didn't play the majority of the season. But I distinctly remember that opening day. Timmy shoved, as he always did. DeRosa hit a homer, and the Giants won like 6-2 or 6-3 or something like that. I distinctly remember that opening day. It's very random.
No, I love it.
But I remember
they won 5-2. I'm looking at it right now. Here's your starters. Now remember, Posey finished the season as rookie of the year, and they went on to win the World Series. We know that Torres was in center, and listen to this lineup, and it's in no order. Molina catching, Huff at first, Uribe at short, Sandoval at third, or excuse me, Uribe at second base, Renteria at shortstop, Renteria, who was hurt almost that whole year, DeRosa, Rowan, John Bowker. That team changed dramatically within that season.
Oh, yeah.
God, that's crazy.
Amazing. Random. 2010 opening day.
Okay, last year's opening day lineup. Let's just take a look here. Last year, Bailey Wade, Estrada, Chapman, Nick Ahmed, Conforto, Jung-Hoo Lee, Yaz, with Soler as your DH.
Soler.
In 1 year, they've changed a lot.
Nick Ahmed. Wow.
I mean, think about this. Like, catcher, I think Bailey's better this year than he will be next year. He's got the seasoning. Wade, let's just say he's stagnant.
Catcher, first base, third base, center fielder are the same. And Yaz, right fielder. Everything else is different.
Nick Ahmed, we've upgraded. Second base, I feel like they've upgraded. Yeah. DH, I don't know. I know everyone dogs Soler. I'd probably rather have Soler DHing than Wilmer Flores.
We could have a debate about that for sure. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And now we're broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And joining us now in the Laughing Monk Studios is Matt Lively on the River Islands guest line. Matt Lively, of course, KPIX sports anchor and broadcaster. He joins us here on 95.7 105.7 The Game, as all guests do on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Of course, all of us here at 95.7 The Game partnering with KPIX for their bracket challenge. And I got to read off some of the key people in the standings right now, Shasky, because Matt Steinmetz is in first. You're in third, so you're in the running for this
thing. I think I'm tied, dude. Technically.
Oh, you're tied.
For a second.
Okay. Well, you're up there. You're close.
Yeah. Well, technically, also, I didn't make the picks. It's me, Michelle, and LJ.
Okay.
The
Shasky family.
Absolutely. As a collective.
Okay, I like it. And then who's joining us right now? Matt Lively. He's in seventh. So, you know, maybe he's got a way to climb up the standings here in the Sweet 16. But Matt Lively joins us now here on the River Islands guest line. Matt, appreciate the time. How you doing? Happy opening day and happy Sweet 16 day.
What's going on, guys? One of the best days in sports. Sweet 16 coinciding with opening day. You got to love it.
So, all right, we've got a bracket challenge going on. For the audience that doesn't know what's going on, let's try to, like, break it down. Your channel does this huge bracket challenge with all of the different hosts and people, and you guys have invited us at 95.7 The Game to be a part of it?
That's right, and we've been battling each other. I think we battled each other last year as well, in which I think I finished at the very bottom, or very close to the very bottom of this bracket challenge. So I'm pretty happy with being in seventh place, which I believe is like really fourth place when you iron out all the tied for second, tied for third. And also, I think I have a pretty unique bracket going forward. Maybe not unique, I have Duke winning, but like the other teams that are there, I think I have a good chance of making some big jumps. Because if I finish behind Shasky, I'm not sure if I can live that down.
Yeah, I don't think you can. So what's your biggest differentiator? What's the biggest upset
Why is it unique?
I have Texas Tech beating Florida, which I don't think a lot of people have Texas Tech even beating Arkansas tonight or getting out of this region. So I think Texas Tech, if I can get them to the Final Four, I think I have a good shot at winning. I've got Michigan State in my national championship game, which they've got kind of a rough stretch because they've got to get through Auburn. But I am pretty bland. I am taking Duke to win the national championship because they're just better than everybody. But it's been a pretty chalky March Madness. I mean, like, I was waiting. I was hoping Colorado State would come here to San Francisco, and then they get beat at the buzzer by Maryland. But it's been a really chalky March Madness. But I think the tournament as a whole, there's some really, really fun games to watch this weekend.
So are you going out to Chase Center today? My boy Brent said that he watched Florida practice the other day because Todd Golden and him had kids in the same class when he was living out here coaching at USF. And I feel like, you know, Florida's got a great advantage because the coach knows the terrain out here and has all the hookups.
Totally. I'll be there tonight. I was there yesterday, and I was asking all those Florida guys. It's pretty fun because, you know, Todd Golden's like head coach / tour guide. He takes him to Original Joe's, not the Westlake one, Shasky. I know you're a big Westlake guy. I think they went to the one in North Beach.
Shout out the Dugan family. Shout out the Dugan family. What do you get when you go to Original Joe's? Now I have to ask.
I'm going to throw you for a loop here. You ready? I don't think if I gave you 100 guesses, you could guess what I get at Original Joe's.
The steak a la Bruno.
I get the chicken pot pie.
What? That's only on like Tuesdays, I thought.
No, the one in the marina, there's a little bit more flexibility.
Gotcha.
The chicken pot pie is outrageous. I mean, their alla vodka as well, and their chicken parm are delicious. But I'm definitely, I love their chicken pot pie.
Really? That is kind of surprising. I'm not going to lie. That's surprising.
100 guesses, you wouldn't have taken that one.
No, I wouldn't have. I will tell you this. Original Joe's to go, when I order Uber Eats, we do it once a week. Michelle will order the pizza. I'll either go rotisserie chicken or slice of lasagna. I'm doing a read for Original Joe's. Keep going.
No free pub. No free pub on these networks. But, I mean, hey, listen, they went to Chrissy Field. They saw the Golden Gate Bridge. A lot of them wanted to see what they referenced as the jail, also known as Alcatraz, which maybe if they win tonight, they'll have some time maybe tomorrow to go see Alcatraz. But it's pretty cool for Todd Golden. He also played at St. Mary's. Shockingly enough, he left as their free throw percentage leader, which was then broken by Matthew Dellavedova. But I asked his players, I said, if you could guess, there was one stat he was the all-time leader in. None of them knew. They actually guessed turnovers just to show that relationship. They got a good relationship with Coach Golden. So they're very relaxed. You know, I think that's a huge positive when you are on this big stage, you're playing at Chase Center, and the team is just relaxed and having a good time. It's very good vibes for the Florida Gators yesterday.
Speaking of Chase Center and vibes, I know the Warriors aren't at Chase Center, but they've suffered a couple of losses in a row. You concerned? Is it time to panic or no big deal? Just a couple of losses without Steph.
Couple of losses without Steph. Listen, I think Steph and I basically had the exact same injury. I was skiing in January, absolutely ate it down the mountain. Those pelvic contusions are no joke. I hope they gave him a little donut pillow to fly with on the flight. But I mean, he's going to be coming back here, and they've got a couple of games that you're happy he's coming back. I mean, it's the Pelicans and the Spurs next. Those are two wins. Even without Steph, you hope they get those wins. If not, then you should probably be concerned. But that comes right before maybe the toughest stretch they have, where they've got the Grizzlies, the Lakers, the Nuggets, the Rockets, the Suns. And that down the stretch, the next 2 weeks, is pretty brutal. But I'm not concerned. They're in seventh right now. Do you really think Jimmy Butler's not going to get them out of the play-in tournament if they had to play in it? I still think they get into the top six. I really do.
I hope. I mean, at this point, I've watched the Warriors just break my heart so many times the last couple of years. I'm not getting my hopes up for anything. I want to avoid the play-in at all costs, period. That's all I want to do.
I love that they finished with the Clippers, because that really, I mean, they're right there. They're neck and neck. Clippers, I love that their final game is against the Clippers.
Yeah, but they own us. I don't feel comfortable with that. I want to have a cushion. I don't want to deal with Harden, Kawhi, the Warrior Killer, and the referees.
But maybe that's what they need. I think that's why I like it so much. It's like if they beat the Clippers to take the six, what a way to go into the postseason.
Yeah,
that's true. Everything you need right there. Like, if you really want to make a deep postseason run, you need that defining game that says, okay, we're here, we're legit. I think that's that game.
Yeah, we'll see. A lot of big games coming up down the stretch for the Warriors. Matt, appreciate you taking some time out. We'll keep an eye on the standings. Just whatever you do, don't let Steiny win. That's all I care about. He's in first place right now. Don't let that happen. But we'll check back in, and best of luck on all your picks, okay?
Yeah, thanks, guys. No way we're letting Steiny win. You can catch us on Bracket Mountain tonight on KPIX, following the Duke-Arizona game, 9-10.
Who's joining you from 95.7 The Game tonight?
I think it's Dibs today, right?
I haven't looked at the rundown. We had Gru on last week, and he was great. We had to rough him up about the Cowboys, and I figured he was also a Lakers fan and a Yankee fan. And so.
Gru from Minions or Guru?
Guru.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Was he excited?
Yeah, and I don't know where he's at in the standings. I think he's up top.
We'll have to check on him. Steiny's in first.
I wouldn't know. I'm up so high on the tower of this bracket. Oh, I look down on all the Minions.
Oh, no, I actually just looked. He's one ahead of you.
Oh, is he ahead of me?
Let's go, Goo.
Darn it.
Yeah, you got technically tied, but the way that this presents it, he is on top of you.
Gotcha.
Oh, no.
Matt, appreciate it, and we'll be watching tonight.
Appreciate it.
All right, thanks. That's Matt Lively, KPIX. We got our bracket challenge going with KPIX, and the college basketball tournament is in full swing. Stay up to date on all the tournament action via our bracket challenge on 957thegame.com, and be sure to tune into KPIX Game Day Center Court after the games at 9 for highlights and to see some of our 957 The Game hosts share their thoughts on the tournament. And tonight, I can confirm, it will be Dan Dibley on tonight on KPIX.
The Dibbers?
Yeah, Dibs on at 9. Tonight, KPIX.
Yeah, 9 o'clock. I'm usually in bed by then. Might be, you know, Netflix and chill by myself. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll flip it on.
I wonder where Dibs is in the standings. I'm just rooting for anybody but Steiny.
What is the thing that he's called? The system? What's he call it?
Oh yeah, he's got a system.
Yeah, but if you're in dead last place or something, does the system work?
Yeah, I don't know. I think his system is more so for like laying down bets.
Not winning brackets. Oh, the algorithm that's only
probably,
works for them.
That's probably what he'll say to you. Although I think the first round of the attorney, the system didn't quite work out that well for him. He's probably listening right now. He'll probably shoot you a text and let you know exactly.
Oh.
But we'll find out.
Yeah, find out. We'll effort find out. That. Yeah. Effort that, Lubman.
We're efforting that, okay? We'll get the system from Dan Dibley. All right, we got plenty more time for your calls. Plus, Giants legend Dave Dravecki is coming up next.
Oh, love Dave.
It's opening day. I'm going to talk to Dave Dravecki. This is awesome. We'll do that coming up next. That's what's coming up on The Game. Brought to you by Safeway. It's the Morning Roast. Joe Shasky. I'm Mark Randy, in for Joe Spadoni. More coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're in the sixth or seventh inning. I had ran around like crazy against these 20-year-olds. This young team, half of them live in Marina, half of them live in San Rafael. They're a very good team. And, you know, we got a bunch of old guys on our team. We play in a 40 and over league, and then we also, as an old man team, play in the younger league as the old man team. And everyone's like, oh, the old guys, you know, and softball, anyone can beat anyone at any given time. It's not about home runs, it's about base hits. So I'm running around like crazy, and these young guys, they'll turn one into two left and right. Well, it's the last inning, and we play on a time, it's timed out. Well, I go up to bat after running around the whole bottom half of the inning. It's the top of the inning, blah, blah, blah. We're up like 10 runs or whatever. And I didn't get into the box in the appropriate amount of time. I'm standing there. I thought they were warming up, you know, throwing a couple warm-up pitches. I got called an automatic strike.
Wow.
Because I didn't step into the box in time. I turn to the umpire. I go, Curtis, dog, I'm 43. I'm ready to go. All you have to do is say step up into the box. And I was just, yeah, everyone was laughing at me and making fun of me.
How'd that at bat end?
I flew out. Yeah.
Did you get to two strikes or?
Well, you start 1-1. It moves everything around. So every at bat starts 1-1.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But then, so that
so
one
now
started 1-2.
So now I'm in a two-strike situation.
So that, I mean, that just ends the at bat right there.
I mean, well, now you're swinging at anything. You know what I mean? But you're doing that anyway.
You don't have a two-strike approach, Shasky? What are we doing here?
Look, when you're my age and you knew you had another game after that, you're like, dude, let's just get out of this game uninjured. And now this morning, not only do my quads feel a little tight and sore, my neck's a little sore, so I think I'm going to do steam room hot tub for an hour or so leading up to the Giants opening day.
Yeah. I know you missed that this morning.
Oh, I needed a lift too this morning, but we'll get to that at some point.
We'll get Dave Dravecki on here in just a little bit as we continue to celebrate opening day across Major League Baseball. Giants are in Cincinnati. Logan Webb on the bump. We have a Giants lineup as well. It is Lamont Wade leading off. We were throwing out a lot earlier, and we got time for your calls once we wrap up with Dave Dravecki here in a little bit as well. Favorite Giants of all time. We can run through opening day memories.
Hell yeah.
The Madison Bumgarner two home runs was a great one, but then it was spoiled by Mark Melanson in the bullpen at the end of that.
Who literally pitched his first inning as a Giant after saying that week, yeah, I'm not going to stretch with the team. It's like, dog, you just got here.
One of the worst contracts in Giants history, Mark Melanson.
It's a short list. It's basically Matt Morris. You probably don't even remember.
I remember Matt Morris.
Matt Morris.
What was that, like 07 or 08?
Yeah,
something like
he
that?
Was awful. And then Armando Benitez. I would throw Denard Span in there and Aaron Rowan. But there's been a lot of bad ones. But that one was as bad. Samardzija was bad. Samardzija's biggest contribution was basically ending Michael Morris's career.
Yeah. Did you know that he played tight end at Notre Dame?
No, he played wide receiver.
Wide receiver.
Oh. Yeah, I watched him with Brady Quinn. Trust me, I remember very well. I'm a big Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan. You really tried to throw that by
me? No, that was the, did you know that Matthew Stafford and Clayton Kershaw played Little League together growing up? Every time Samardzija pitches on a nationally televised game. Did you know that he played football at Notre Dame? Yes, everyone knows that.
I actually think he was better at football than he was at baseball.
He was, yeah.
And he made a lot of money in baseball. He made the right decision, but he was a sick receiver.
Yeah.
All right, dark horses for the Giants. I asked Dave Fleming that same exact question.
He threw out some crazy names.
Yeah, so for the audience that's just showing up right now, like not somebody like Willy Adames or Chapman, established players, like someone who's on the fringe of being in, either on the roster or is in AAA right now, who could maybe be the Elliot Ramos of 2025, who came out of nowhere and I gave up on. Like I straight up gave up on him. Who could that be for this year?
Let me bring up the full roster.
Because I've got a couple names I want to throw at you.
Give me one of them.
Luis Matos. We've heard about him year after year after year. He had a really nice spring. I don't want to make too much of it. Do you think he gets a chance this year? Do you think that this guy can somehow crack the lineup?
How do you define chance?
Like, guys get hurt. People go through slumps. Stuff happens. I just read you off the 2010 team. Think of how dramatically different the opening day lineup was to the team that we saw end the year and win it all. Think about last year's opening day lineup and think about how we ended the year. Tyler Fitzgerald wasn't a guy I thought about, okay? I didn't think about Elliot Ramos, you know, at all, quite frankly. Didn't know that Ryan Walker would end up being the closer. Did you?
No, of course not.
Like, did you even know who Hayden Birdsong was?
I'd heard the name, didn't know much about him.
I read the name. Yeah. I never watched him pitch once. By the end of the year, I was like, yeah, I really like what I'm seeing from this guy.
The one thing about Luis Matos, I'm just concerned. He made the opening day lineup, but how often is he going to get in?
I don't know.
I know until there will be an injury.
Some stuff happens. There's a lot of innings.
And he's going to get an opportunity at some point, but I don't want to be 3 weeks into the season and he has 10 at-bats.
It's true. I just threw his name out there. I
hear you.
I'm optimistic.
He had an amazing week in the majors last year.
He was player of the week.
He was player of the week. He had like 11 RBIs in a two-game span.
What if I said to you Casey Schmidt might have an opportunity?
Yeah.
You know, the reason why I say that is you're going to need I know that they play every game, but you're going to need a backup third shortstop.
He also plays second.
And second baseman. Yeah. And if Fitzgerald struggles even a little, I think that there will be an opening for Casey Schmidt. His glove is so good. All he has to do is hit just a little bit. I don't know. I'm just throwing names out there.
We can go back to that. And we can also talk about where the Giants stand in the National League and in the National League West and what's realistic expectations for this Giants team ahead of opening day today in Cincinnati, Giants and Reds. But right now, we're honored because Dave Dravecki joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Giants great, Dave Dravecki on with us here on the Morning Roast. It's Mark Randy and Joe Shasky. Dave, appreciate the time. Happy opening day. Thanks for taking the time out. How you doing today?
Yeah, doing really good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, of course. I know we want to promote your event coming up next month, the Second Opinions 8th Annual Breakfast Benefit, a morning with Dave Dravecki on April 11th. We'll tell everyone all the details about that and ask you to share with the audience what that event means to you. But first of all, opening day, you've been through a lot of them in your major league career. What is it like to be a part of an opening day and the pomp and circumstance of a day like today?
Oh, it's awesome. It really is, guys. You know, as a kid from Youngstown, Ohio, just getting to the big leagues was amazing. And people often ask, well, what was your favorite ballpark? And I say, every one of them. And then, you know, you take it another level and you go to being given the ball on opening day. And I'll never forget 1988 when Roger Craig, after spring training, came up to me and said, hey, you're our opening day pitcher. And it was Chavez Ravine. Dave Dravecki versus Fernando Valenzuela.
Wow.
And so, I mean, when I think about opening day, it is such a special day because it begins the journey that we look forward to every spring with the opportunity to actually get into the postseason at the end of the year. And so it's a really special time because it starts on this journey that we embark on to try and play as well as we can to get to the prize at the end of the road.
You know, Dave, I think I speak for a lot of people my age. I grew up right near Candlestick, and those late 80s Giants teams forged my love of baseball. And the trade with you, Craig Lefferts, and Kevin Mitchell. Mitch was my guy. I love Mitch. And all my other buddies, Will Clark. Like, you guys really took the hearts of Giants fans at that time. Obviously, the Niners have always been big, but that late 80s run that you guys went on, and you were such a big part of it, and so important. Like, do you guys still feel the love? I mean, I know you do for a lot of reasons on and off the field, but do you still feel the love from those late 80s, like the connection to guys in their 40s and 50s to those teams? Because, God, I just – If I bring up Robbie Thompson, Matt Williams coming up and down and you and like, no, like, honestly, it means something. You know, it really does to guys my age. Do you still feel that love from Giants fans?
Oh, you better believe it. As a matter of fact, you know, the Giants, this organization is near and dear to our hearts because I'm an ambassador for the Giants. And about 15 years ago, they brought me on as one of their ambassadors, and they have several guys that connect with the fan base. And one of the most beautiful things about the San Francisco Giants is that they really understand the significance of their history as it relates to the present that then impacts the future. And that is all as a result of alumni connecting with generational fans. And so, you know, we've lost those original guys in the context of the ambassador, the Willie Mayses and the McCoveys and the Cepedas, but it's moving to the next generation. And you know, my dad was that fan of Willie Mays that he introduced me to that club. And then, you know, I'm introducing my son, and now my grandson is involved. So, yes, we as players love the connection at what we're in our 50s and 60s with the fans that went through that with us. That means so much to us as alumni. And the older you get, the more you realize the significance of it. Because, you know, for so many, they're just forgotten. Mm. But as a Giant, you're never forgotten.
No. Mm. No.
And that's because the fan base and how they look at this wonderful thing called the San Francisco Giants.
Dave, you're getting me emotional here because, like, I'm taking my son next week. You know, he's a year and a half or so old, and I lost my dad this year. My dad used to take me to games at Candlestick. I told you, we lived right down the way, and we would sit out in the family pavilion, you know, for a dollar, and we'd play catch, yeah. And there'd be nobody in the stands, literally nobody in the stands, and we'd be booing the hell out of Tommy Lasorda coming out of that crummy bullpen out of the side, and I think that's the part about opening day is, like, I think of the familial ties and everything. But where I'm going at this is, as an ambassador of the Giants, do you just marvel at the stadium that they've built? Because coming from Candlestick and how dusty and crusty and old and windy and crappy that it was, to see, like, it is a gem. It looks like it's been there 150 years, yet it still feels brand new. I marvel at it every time I see it. I pinch myself, and I'm bringing my kid there next week, and it's just, there's something about opening day and the ritual of going through it, and I appreciate you bringing up your father when you brought that up.
Yeah, you know, I've recently lost my dad, and so when I think about being raised as a young boy and my dad being actively involved in my love of baseball, and I think about Oracle Park, and I think about coming from Youngstown, Ohio, where we didn't play on the best of fields, and I think about being a big leaguer and playing on all those amazing ballparks, to think that now there's a place like Oracle Park, which is, you know, I mean, it's the most beautiful park in all of Major League Baseball. And when you go to the games and you sit, it's intimate and it feels you're connected. Fans, I mean, now as when I go as a fan and I watch the games, it's amazing how connected you feel to your team just because of that ballpark and the way it's been constructed. Everything feels so intimate, and it feels like a family. And so it's been such a wonderful thing to be able to experience post-career. But I have to be honest, okay, guys, my favorite ballpark was Candlestick.
Hmm. Why?
And here's why. Okay, I was a sinker ball pitcher. Roger Craig made sure the grass was thick in the infield. And so, you know, I'm throwing pitches that guys are hitting into the ground, and it's slowing the ball down through the infield so that it's a much easier play for the guys that were playing in the infield. And so I loved pitching there. I loved the elements of San Francisco. The colder it was, the better it was for me to pitch, because when I played for the Padres, Tony Gwynn, when we would go into Candlestick, he always said, "This is the worst place to hit." And I thought to myself, if I ever become a Giant, I'm going to use that psychological edge, knowing how much, guys, if Tony hated it, everybody else was going to hate it.
That is
and
great.
So I loved pitching in Candlestick.
That's amazing. Dave Dravecki with us here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. Dave, I'm curious. You were teammates with a lot of great Giants in your tenure in San Francisco. Will Clark, Robbie Thompson, Kevin Mitchell, to name a few. Who's your favorite teammate while you were a Giant?
Atlee Hammaker, hands down. He's still, to this day, my best friend in baseball. But here's the thing that has been really cool, being out of the game. And, you know, as a player, pitchers hung with pitchers. I mean, mm-hmm. You guys get that.
Yeah.
You know, the regulars hung with each other, you know, and so there were these little cliques. And it was just guys just, you know, you don't hang with everybody. So you find your guys, and those are the guys you hang with during the course of a season. But when you retire, it's really interesting what happens, because I stay connected with Atlee. But I stay more connected with Will Clark, Robbie Thompson, Kevin Mitchell, all those guys, than I do with some of the other pitchers, Brett Butler. And it's been amazing how those relationships have developed post-career. Mm. And it's been wonderful, to be honest with you. Absolutely wonderful, because I didn't hang out with Robbie Thompson and Bob Melvin and Matt Williams and Will Clark. And all those guys, I didn't hang out with those guys. I was hanging out with Scotty Gereltz. I was hanging out with Atlee Hammaker. And so now, postseason, just because of the dynamics of our lives and getting older, having kids, going through struggles, these guys become really good friends. And that's what's been really cool as a Giant, is the connection with those teammates. And so I just feel so grateful, you know, being a part of this organization. You know, they've invited me into this family, and it's been away from home. It's my family, and I absolutely love those guys. I love the staff, the people that are working in the organization. There's so many of them that I get to relate to and build relationship with, you know, and just grateful that Larry Bear has allowed for me to be a part of this incredible family, along with Mario Alioto when he was there. So it's been really cool. And Jason Pearl, all those guys in the front office, and then, you know, on the field, those guys too as well. It's been wonderful.
All-time legend, Dave Dravecki. I mean, Giants fans are out here just like, they're glued to their radios and their YouTubes and everything, watching and listening to you right now. Just going on. You brought up Bob Melvin. I mean, believe me, I want to get into Atlee Hammaker and how unfortunately, the Freddie Lynn home run just hangs over his head, and he was so much better than that, and no one gives him love. I love Atlee Hammaker. Bob Melvin, take me back to the first day you met him, because he's the manager right now of the Giants, and, you know, I love hearing these old school stories. So take me back to the beginning of when you met him. Where were you? What'd you think of him, and how has he changed since, now that he's obviously 40 years later?
Well, you know, when I came over, that's when I met Bob in the trade, and I don't know specifically how that all happened, to be honest with you, but I do know that I loved him behind the dish. You know, when you get a catcher that so quickly discovers who you are and then works with you, and there's a rhythm that you develop really quick, it makes pitching very easy. At least it did for me. Now, it didn't mean the results would be good, but when you've got somebody who's on the same page with you, that's a significant thing. And Bob Melvin, it's indicative of why Bob is the manager today and has been such a successful manager in the game of baseball. And so, you know, those experiences with him were absolutely incredible. And the thing I love about Bob, which is what I think is indicative of the Giants' way, is that Bob, this spring, has invited many, many of the alumni back in uniform to help these young men understand what it means to be a Giant. And Bob gets it. And obviously, with Buster at the helm as the president of baseball ops and wanting to bring those guys back to reconnect like his experience was when he would be in the clubhouse and Willie Mays was there, or a McCovey would come in, or a Cepeda, or a Gaylord Perry, he wants that to be a big part of who we are as a family. And that history means something to him, and he wants to see the influence of that connect with these younger players so they don't forget that it's not about the name on the back of their uniform that's significant. It's the name on the front of the uniform, Giants, that is significant for them. But when they learn the value of being able to play together as a team wearing that uniform with the name on the front, all of a sudden, good things start happening to the name on the back. And that's the beauty of the Giants way that I think Buster wants to permeate throughout the organization into the minor leagues. And Bo Mel is at the helm at the big league level doing that by bringing guys in and connecting them. Bo Mel gets all over me when I come into San Francisco and spend time with the fans if I don't step into a locker room to say hello.
I love that.
That's amazing.
It's a beautiful thing.
It really is. And fans love hearing that. I think you were touching on something good there at the end that I wanted to follow up on. Obviously, the Giants fans love those good feelings and love seeing you involved and seeing Will Clark involved and Matt Williams, of course, and Bob Melvin and all these legendary Giants that are still involved in the organization. And it makes everyone feel good. And that Giants vibe feels like it's coming back. But you were talking about it a little bit. How can something like that help this team that's trying to make a name for itself and so many young players that are trying to break through for the first time? How can that environment make life easier for that group and for this team in general?
Well, I think it's indicative of what happens to a team when you have chemistry. And so what they're trying to create is an understanding that we're in this together. And so you may be young and you may have veterans, but at the end of the day, you have to come together. And I think that is at the center of understanding where the success is going to come from. It's not necessarily looking at the end of the road to a World Series. It's about the process in getting there. And the only way that you can get there is if you learn to love one another on that team because you have a common goal in mind. And that's to pick each other up during the course of any game throughout the season. And Kruko and Kipe speak to this a lot to us as fans. It's understanding that how many times have you heard Kruko say, next man up, keep the line moving, you know? Put the ball in play. Just keep the line moving. Well, that's what these young kids need to understand, and they get that when all of a sudden the alumni are connecting and the veteran players that are in that locker room are speaking into this. I mean, how amazing is it that you got Willy Adames? First of all, the dude's always smiling. I want that guy on my team. I mean, he's a Pablo Sandoval. Happy. Love the game. Enjoy the game. That's why we play the game. It's for love of the game. And at the end of the day, you got a Justin Verlander. How much wealth of wisdom and knowledge does he have as a pitcher that he can pour into these young kids that have such great arms? And the thing that I love about what is happening is that they're now trying to get these starters to go longer in games, which thrills me to no end, is to finally get some length out of our starters and get guys to go in the sixth and seventh inning. And when you got Logan Webb and Verlander and Robbie Ray going out there, what do you think that's going to do to those young kids when those guys are going 7 and 8 innings or 6 and 7 innings and those kids are out there and they're going, man, I want to follow suit? So that's the beauty of the dynamic of what's happening with this organization. I don't know what it's going to lead to, but I would not count them out in getting a postseason slot.
Wow. Wow, I love that. You know, Dave, I want to speak on behalf of, I'm in my 40s, you know, and I remember your playing career quite fondly and your comeback and everything that went into that and what happened to you and losing your arm and just, you've been an inspiration for a lot of people. And every time that you're out there at Oracle Park and you go out in front of the fans, you always get a standing ovation. But I think I speak for a lot of people when I say that your story and the way that you've conducted yourself over the last 30 years, inspirational doesn't even begin to describe it. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of all the Giants fans. You've been a great Giant on and off the field, and you embody everything that's good, not only in the sport of baseball, but in this world. And I just appreciate you, man, and I just want you to know that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. That that means an awful lot. You've touched my heart with those words, so thank you for that encouragement. It means an awful lot to me, and you know, it's because this organization and the fans of San Francisco mean a lot to Jan and I. When we were going through the hardest of times, you all reached out with your love and your prayers and your support, and that was a big part of us getting through the very difficult season in our life where we battled cancer and lost a career and ultimately an arm. And so I'm extremely, there's a fond love that Dave and Jan Dravecki have for the people of San Francisco and the Bay Area.
We love you back.
Yeah, it goes both ways, and you're still inspiring to this day. You've got the Second Opinions 8th Annual Breakfast Benefit, A Morning with Dave Dravecki, coming up Friday, April 11th, 8 to 10:30 in the morning at the Jewish Community Center here in San Francisco. The Second Opinion is a nonprofit that has been providing free, comprehensive second opinions to cancer patients since 1969. And this breakfast benefit, again, Friday, April 11th, beginning at 8 in the morning at the Jewish Community Center here in SF. That helps raise critical funds to provide this service. An awesome thing that you guys are doing. Just talk to us a little bit about this event, what it means, and how it's helping the community.
Yeah, I think this is a significant event, and here's why. Because a second opinion for me literally made the difference in the journey that I was on battling cancer. And I'm not saying that the people who were handling me as the primary when I went to get that second medical opinion, did anything wrong, but it was through that second medical opinion I learned something new about my situation that led me to make a decision that would ultimately help me to get through this. And I'm so grateful for the encouragement to get that second medical opinion, because it's always important when you're battling with something physical and you're trying to make a decision on what's best moving forward to make sure that you get more than one opinion. And most doctors out there are very supportive of that because it helps them as well as the patient to understand that we're on the same page. And so that second opinion is critical. And the work of this organization has been significant since 1969. And so it's so important for people to understand the value of the second opinion. And this is what they offer. This is what the beauty of what that day will be about, is understanding the gift that they offer to patients who need to understand whether or not they're in the right place and to get the right care. And so that second opinion helps them to formulate a wise decision in relationship to their health. And so it's a privilege and an honor for me to be able to come there and speak to the issue through my own personal experience, but encourage people to support the wonderful work of this organization called Second Opinion.
That's amazing, Dave. Inspiring story. You're still inspiring to this day, and we appreciate you taking out some time on opening day. Thanks so much, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, you got it. Please come out, man. Look forward to seeing you at Second Opinion. I'll be signing autographs, too. Come and get one.
Awesome.
Let's go. Dave Dravecki, all-time amazing. Giant legend.
Amazing. I'll read off a little more information about this event. It's the Second Opinion's 8th Annual Breakfast Benefit, A Morning with Dave Dravecki, Friday, April 11th, 8 to 10:30 in the morning at the Jewish Community Center here in San Francisco. The Second Opinion is a nonprofit that has been providing free, comprehensive second opinions to cancer patients since 1969, and the breakfast benefit itself is their the big fundraiser that makes this nonprofit possible. And as you heard Dave Dravecki say, every attendee will receive a Dave Dravecki baseball card, and Dave will be on hand to sign it. To purchase tickets, go to thesecondopinion.org, or you can call 415-775-9956, 415-775-9956, or online at thesecondopinion.org. That is the Second Opinion's 8th Annual Breakfast Benefit, A Morning with Dave Dravecki, Friday, April 11th, 8 to 10:30. That's a special human being right there.
I mean, incredible. It's impossible to not almost get choked up there.
Oh, my God.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, what he went through, and, you know, it's... Look, there's a time and a place to laugh and have fun, right? And I love to have fun and goof off and laugh and all that stuff. But as I look on my screen and I see, you know, Pat McAfee talking to LeBron, and they're going out of their way to blast Brian Windhorst, you know, it really puts into perspective how ridiculous it is when you're talking to someone who lost his arm to a real life thing, cancer, you know, and battled back from it to pitch, only to lose his arm later on the mound. Like, we all watched Warrior. What happened. And it just puts all these things into perspective and how absurd sometimes when you're in the rat race of sports and we do this for a living and you open up the internet and how ridiculous the internet can be.
You're so caught up in the drama of it all.
But in the real life, in the real world, you know, when you step away from the internet and you go out and meet people, there are many more Dave Dravecki's of the world. Now, he's unique. He's a unicorn. But I'm saying real people who really care and go through life things, because we all have someone in our family who's going through something medically. Yeah. Something at all times. And I said to him that he's an inspiration. He really is an inspiration.
No doubt he is.
So many people I know that have like gone through some real life stuff. You know, there's ways of dealing with it. And some people react differently and negatively, or it ruins their life, or, you know, and to see someone like him and to see how he's attacked life since that, I mean, remarkable doesn't even begin to describe it.
No doubt. That was amazing. I'm honored to be here on the show with you and to have the opportunity to talk to Dave Dravecki. Heard a lot of stories from my dad growing up watching him pitch, and I know his Giants career wasn't the longest.
No.
And wasn't the most storied in terms of what he accomplished on the mound, but the impact that he had on this area, definitely amazing.
I mean, he flippantly just said, like, not flippantly, he just said it like, yeah, you know, opening day, me and Fernando Valenzuela, Giants, Dodgers.
The stories that this guy has.
1988,
amazing.
We win 5-1. I mean, Fernando mania, for those that don't, I mean, whatever you think Linsanity was, whatever you think that you see when it comes to like Steph Curry and you know how in Miami everybody's wearing Steph Curry jerseys, Fernando mania,
something different,
was on a whole nother level.
Crazy.
And I'm not even trying to knock Steph, like he was huge, but like Fernando mania in the 80s was, he had an entire country backing him.
Amazing.
It's unreal.
All right, time for the Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
All right, it's time for the Xfinity Fast Five, where we give our final thoughts on the show. Brought to you by the next generation 10G network. Only from Xfinity. The future starts now. Do I normally start? You start? Who starts?
I'll start us
Go
off.
Ahead.
Here's my final thought today. I'm a big believer in paying it forward, right? So if you're the quote-unquote Jedi Master, you have to have an apprentice, right? The Sith Lord, you know, they would always have the theory of two, meaning you always have an apprentice that you're teaching okay. on the way up. Find someone in your life, above you, alongside of you, underneath you, in age, whatever it is. Go play catch today. Pick up a glove, grab a ball, go play catch. Share the game of baseball with them. I'm telling you, there is nothing that will get you more of the endorphin high than throwing a baseball, catching it with some leather, the smells, the feels, everything about it. Play catch. My brother and I have this theory. We're going to be the two old men. I want to live to be 100. That's my goal. And we're going to be the two old guys playing catch on my block until we're 100. We're going to do that every single time. So go out there and play catch with somebody today.
I like it. I like it. I'll go next. Talking about Roger Craig, which Dave Dravecki brought up.
Hum, baby.
It reminded me, and then it was an emphasis, why I love baseball so much. Dave Dravecki, a ground ball pitcher. Roger Craig would always make sure the grass was extra long on the infield.
I love that.
Things like that about baseball. You've got a great bunter. You know, you can kind of pile up the dirt down the lines to keep the ball fair. Like, just small things like that about baseball. It's what makes this sport so awesome.
There are no unique, there are no normalized dimensions.
Yeah.
Every stadium has its own unique thumbprint.
Not like the NBA, not like the NFL,
but
in baseball, you get that. And you get those home field advantages
100%.
In moments like that. That's my final thought. Baseball, it's back and it's the best.
God, great call on that.
My final thought is something that Dave said. Bob gets it. You know, and that's kind of what I look into this season. What's Bob Melvin going to bring? And, you know, Dave Fleming, he said at times last year, there was a more fiery Bob Melvin than he's used to last year. And I think this year there's no one in that clubhouse, not Matt Chapman, not Willie Adames, not Logan Webb. There's no one in that clubhouse who I think wants to see the Giants win more than Bob Melvin. And that's why, that's part of the many reasons why I'm bullish on this team. I think they'll be competitive this year.
Wait a minute.
I can see this team being a lot like the 2009 Giants that, you know, they didn't make the playoffs, but they finished the season in a way that made you really feel good about what's going to come after that.
The year before the dynasty. Huh?
So you're telling me, the year I got rid of my tickets. So you're telling me Sam Lubman thinks the Giants will be good this year?
I know. It's usually the exact opposite, right?
No way. You were literally sitting in a burning fort with Farhan until the very end. Like, it was like, it was unreal. You were the last. You know what you were? You were the band in the Titanic continuing to play as the Titanic is literally 75 feet under the water.
Carter, what do you got?
My final thought of the show is I'm excited to see Helly Ramos build on what he did in the first half of last season. I think he could really be something serious. I just really like the guy personally. I'm also excited to see Bob Melvin operate without Farhan over his head this season.
Ooh.
That's kind of something that I'm really most excited about, I think, during the season.
I like it.
And finally, we have a super chat, too, from NorCali Mike. He says, thank you for the show today, gents.
I'm going to ask
you
guys.
Thank you, NorCali Mike.
One of my favorite questions of all time. We can go all day on this. It's game 7 of the World Series, and your life depends on it. You could pick any pitcher in the history of the game. Who are you giving the ball to?
Madison Bumgarner.
1999, 1998, Pedro Martinez for me. Or 2010 playoff Lincecum. What about you, Carter?
I think I'm with Grandy.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Grandy. Give me Mad Bum.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of right answers. Mad Bum is one of them.
You guys have to be more specific. 2014 Mad
2014
Bum.
2014 Game okay. 7 Mad okay, Bum coming out of the bullpen in Kansas
City. I'm
going
to be real with you, though. If Dave Stewart's on the other side of the mound and it's playoff Dave Stewart,
that's tough.
I'm pretty scared.
There's a lot of good answers. I mean, there's been a lot of great pitchers in playoff performance.
It's not Eckersley.
All right, that was the Fast 5 brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Been fun today. Thanks for welcoming me into the Morning Roast family. I'll be back alongside Joe Shasky tomorrow. For Lubman, for Carter, for Shasky, I'm Granny signing off. Steiny and Guru are next, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.